We can. We thank you for your offerings that you're giving for the work in Mexico. We appreciate it. If Olive totally trusts the Lord, she doesn't beg or whine, and I'm not going to beg or whine. It's our blessing to give. She's doing fine. I had felt maybe that she would be coming here this month. The little lady that had the surgery in Houston is doing fine. They're going back today, but Ollie has graduation facing her. And Mother's Day in down there is a big, big celebration. That's one of their cultural things. So she just did not have time to come here and get back there and get ready for all of that. But I'm thinking she may come this summer. Of course, we won't be having Bible studies, but we might be able to, I don't know, we might be able to get together. She is far more concerned with the ongoing of her work than anything else in her life. So those of you who know her know that. Be sure the offering gets around to everyone, because everyone needs to help and give. I want to draw your attention to these cookbooks up here. That cookbook to me is better than any of the River Roads cookbooks. Excellent, excellent, excellent cookbook. I'm sure I have bought 12 of them, and have given them to people that like to cook. But it is good, and they're wrapped there. Make a nice Mother's Day gift. You can see Madge about that after class. We have our Bible study tonight in Villa Del Rey, and would like to see some of you there. It's a nice little Bible study. Starts on time and gets out on time. Lil gave me this morning. I thought you'd like to hear it. No one ever graduates from Bible study until he meets the author face to face. So that's good, isn't it? I want to start this morning in where we left off in the book of Joshua. We finished chapter 21, and we'll be going into 22. I don't think we mentioned chapter 22 at all last week. But the last three verses of chapter 21 have to be repeated. The conclusion of their going into the land that was promised to them. The Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it, and they lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Now here's a tremendous verse. This is an agreement, a coming together of the promises of God and his faithfulness to perform. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to all the house of Israel failed. Not one failed. All came to pass. See, we may not always in our lives see how God is bringing them all to pass, but if we trust him, he will. See, there is a condition for righteousness. There is a condition for blessing. Back in a number of places in the Old Testament and many, many places in the New Testament, we are told plainly, if you obey my commandments, if you continue in the faith, then all of these things will be provided. Now, if we are continuing in the faith and we still don't see it, it's like Kathy said, don't give up, you will see it. If we follow on and press on, persevere. Paul had been so persecuted and mistreated, but yet he said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling. Every example of every biblical character and every word in the Bible points to the victory of the righteous, to the obedient. And that's why we need to study and study and study and study everything there is in the Bible for us so that we can claim all of it. Now, chapter 22 begins the background of this, goes back to the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. There were those 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And we explained that half-tribe of Manasseh business last week because someone and I, it gets rusty in your mind of the things that have already happened. But we won't go back into that. They had wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan because it was such good pasture land. they asked if they could. And Moses answered to them, you mean that you're going to let your brothers go in here and fight and take this land and you're going to sit over here? Oh, they said, no, we'll go with them. We'll fight the battle. We'll stay till they're in, and then we'll go back. And that pleased Moses well enough. So now is the time for them to go back and take what Moses had promised to give them. They had fulfilled their agreement. There wasn't anything lacking in their faithfulness to help them to get the land. So in verses 1 through 6, we see this dialogue, this conversation, verse 1 through 5, and Joshua blessed them and sent them away. And they went to their tents. Now, they had, there's the land, and that's how it's divided out to them in verses 7 through 9. Then all of a sudden, we read something that seems rather strange, and it seemed very strange to Moses and the other tribes. But they came to the part of the Jordan in Canaan, Gad, Reuben, half-tribe Manasseh, and they built there by the Jordan a large altar, large in appearance, which means you could see it from a distance. It was very prominent on the scene. Now, the confrontation there, Moses and the sons of Israel saw it. The whole congregation raised up and gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. I mean, they were disturbed at what they saw and what they thought that it was. The sons of Israel sent to them and took with them 10 chiefs, one chief for each, the father's household and so forth. They came there and they addressed them. I want you to notice in verse 16 it says, thus says the whole congregation. They were speaking for the whole bunch. What is this unfaithful act that you have done, that you have committed? Now notice how quickly they jumped the gun. Turning away from the God of Israel, turning against him, from following him and building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord. Is not the iniquity of Peor enough from us, for which we've not cleansed ourselves to this day? You remember that way back yonder. Although a plague came on us, you know what he said? You'd think we would have learned, you would have learned your lesson. Well, their mouth overloaded their brain, you know, and they just got themselves in confrontation before they even stopped to realize that maybe they were not right in addressing it so strongly. Do you mean to tell me that you must turn away from following the Lord? If you rebel against him, he'll be angry with the whole congregation. You know, what they were really thinking of was their own hides. He'll take it out on us as well as on you, the whole congregation. Now, if the land's unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord where the Lord's tabernacle is. Come back over here and live with us if you can't live right. That's what they're saying. If you can't do right, come back over here and we'll show you. Don't rebel against the Lord by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord your God. And then they mentioned Achan. You remember when Achan took the shiny stuff because he was tempted and the whole congregation killed him and his family? And they answered and spoke to them. Now, I want you to notice that they address the triunity by three titles there. The Mighty One, God. The Lord, the Mighty One, God. The Lord. They poured out their tribute to their honor to God by addressing him with a triune handle or address there. He knows, and may Israel know, if it was in rebellion. Now listen, this is a big statement. If it was in rebellion, and that was what they were accusing them of, or if it is an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not thou save us this day. I want to tell you, that's pretty strong. Just let us perish if we've done this in unbelief or in rebellion. If we build an altar, you think we have any idea of offering burnt offerings or sacrifices, may the Lord himself require it. Now, here's what that's so, it's just kind of sweet. He said, we've done this out of concern for a reason. In time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord made the Jordan a border between us, you sons of Reuben and Gad. You have no portion with the Lord, so your sons may stop our sons fearing the Lord. Y'all get that? Later, when they're gone on, the sons may raise up and accuse them. And he said, rather, therefore, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but it's a memorial that they were doing it. It'll be a witness between us and your generations that we're to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifice and our peace offerings, that your son may not say that we have no portion. Therefore, we said, it shall come about that if you say this to our generations, they'll come and say, see the copy of the altar? Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away. So they turn it over to Phinehas, the priest, and in verse 31, the priest said, today we know the Lord's in your midst. You have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from your hand. So then it was all right. The word pleased the sons of Israel, and the sons of Israel blessed God, and they didn't speak anymore of going up against the rest of them, or those 2.5 tribes, into war to destroy that land. And the sons of Reuben and Gad called the altar witness. For it is, they said, a witness between us that the Lord is God. Now, there's some things to say about this, and you read this and read that, and you read pro and con always, and that's what makes Bible study a real challenge. You'll always find that there's some that see it this way and some that see it that way, and it's interesting to see. There were things involved that should not have been involved, and let me just, this will help us, this is practical. There was a lack of thought and planning. They should have consulted with the 10 tribes and got their blessing. Because after all, the 10 tribes and Moses and Joshua had been very generous with them. They had given them just what they wanted. It was a lack of thought and planning. There was a zeal that they wanted to have that really wasn't required at this time. There was a kind of lack of discretion. It looked like competition. See, it looked like jealousy. It looked like we're going to call attention to ourselves that we have this land over here. Now, whether or not they thought about that, only God knows. There was a holy wisdom in the way they responded. You know, I tell you, how many of you know that all you have to do is start something, and whoever is there will be right ready to help you and just get right into it. And there was a holy wisdom in their hesitancy to quarrel about it. Also, for both sides, there was holy wisdom. Now, hear me. Holy wisdom in recalling the wrath of God against Peor and against Achan back in Numbers and early in Joshua. Do you want this to happen again, is it saying? Didn't that show you? Isn't enough enough? And that was holy wisdom. And the answer of the whole thing is that there was an agreement there, and they did decide that they would not have to belabor the point anymore. But those things are just inserted in there as lessons to us. You know, we need to plan and discuss and get approval and have an understanding before doing things in haste. In the next chapter, Joshua's farewell address. Now, from here out to the very last of the book of Joshua, we almost dare not skip a word. It's so good. It is so good. You know, it's kind of stupid to read to you, isn't it? I always feel kind of that's what people do when they haven't prepared. They read. But there are so many wonderful things in every one of these verses that I just don't want us to miss much of it, any of it. The word rest there in verse 1 of chapter 23 is tremendously big, and I don't think we'll do it right now. We will if we have time, and we probably won't have time, but we'll do it next Tuesday. What's time to a hog? We'll just put it off and wait. But this word rest is a very important Bible term. The rest is the completed victory that the Lord wins. That the completed cessation from strife. See, Isaiah the prophet talked about it. He said there remains a rest for the people of God. I don't better than I get into it or I'll get sidetracked and get excited. But rest is the completed victory of God. The completed work that is required for the victory. The rest. That's a beautiful word. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. And when he said on the cross, it's finished, then everyone who believed in him and will ever believe in him enters into that rest. See, there's no more struggle. There's nothing you can do. You can obey, but there's nothing that you can add to the work of salvation. He perfectly, completely, he made a full, sufficient, and perfect sacrifice once for all the sins of the world, when he gave himself a propitiation. I love that word. A propitiation is that which satisfies the anger of God at sinners. He made complete peace, and we enter into the rest. Psalm 132, we used to sing that. Dorothy, you probably know that. We sing a little chorus out of that that says, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. For the Lord has chosen Zion. Zion is the place that we read of in Hebrews, which is the dwelling place of God. And I better get back into Joshua. But this rest is with him ceasing from all of the labors and the sweating. Now, we are God's workmanship. We are created for good works. Good works are not going to save you, but let me tell you what good works are. We are always doing something. If you're not saved, chances are most of your works are evil. A lot of the world does lies in darkness. See, the way of the world is wickedness. But the way of God's people is goodness. So that everything we do could be classified a good work. Won't save you. Won't add to your salvation. Won't put stars in your crown. But when we stand there with him, as we do in Matthew's gospel, I think it's chapter 25, he said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, every act of kindness that we can find to do for anybody who needs it is doing it unto the Lord. So everything we need to do, we should think about finding opportunities to do good. You know, that goes with our speech, too. My mouth is my worst enemy. You know, it takes off before I get my brain in gears, I said a while ago. A kind word, a smile, anything that we do after we enter this rest, see, that can be a part of good things, thoughts we think, meditations that we have, plans that we make, all to be into this rest that we have in him. He hath given us rest and from all of their enemies on every side. They didn't have anybody breathing down their neck. They had complete victory. It's hard for us to see that, isn't it? Complete victory. Not one thing that God said he would do did he fail to do. Joshua is 110 years old. It says that on over in chapter 24. And he realizes that he's winding down. Boy, that is wise. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day whose pastor is getting very old. And the older he gets, the more he clams onto that pulpit. I mean, like old. seeing he should be training some new person, young person, to come in and pick up the reins and take over. We're not as effective at 110 as we were at 44. And we get to the place that we can't remember what we did with it. I don't know that Joshua was senile, but it was time for him to put this down in print. So he called for everybody, all Israel. I doubt if that meant every chick and child, but all Israel is represented here in elders, heads of the judges, officers, and he said, I am old. Some folks never want to admit it, you know, but he was ready to admit that he was old. And you have seen, he said, all that the Lord has done to all of these nations because of you. Now there you have a solemn declaration of the sovereign choice of God for Israel. He could have chosen Denmark. He could have chosen South America. He could have done it any way he wanted to do it. But he set his love upon them, not because they were mighty, but they were yet smaller in number than all the peoples that he could have chosen. But he chose because of you. But it is the Lord who has been fighting for you. They could not have done anything without him. Now, the purpose of his meeting with them is to encourage them. And friends, this has got our name on it as much as anything in the Bible. To encourage them to continue in right relationship with the Lord and to keep them in true worship. If I could get in every pulpit, in every church, in every place in America and say what they need to hear, it would be what Joshua told Israel that day. Keep yourself in right relationship with the Lord and in worship of the Lord. He reminds them what the Lord had done, and there were nations and people and victories that are unimaginable. Now God, listen to this, God had sovereignly defeated the people there, and that was the same people that their older generation had called giants and called themselves grasshoppers. I want to tell you something. Unbelief. Unbelief will shut out victory. God had given them the land. They sent those spies up there and came back and said, we are helpless. We are like grasshoppers. They will eat our lunch. They will kill us before noon. But Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. Thank God for Joshua. They were of a different spirit. And God, because of that, well, he'll always keep his promise. There's no doubt about that. He'll have a remnant. Now, in verse 5, I just have to stop there. The Lord shall thrust them out and drive them from you. You'll possess the land just like the Lord promised you. You will. Now, here's the encouragement, and here's the instruction. And boy, this got our name on it. This New American Standard says, be very firm. What does it say in the King James? I didn't write it. Courageous. Be very strong. Be very strong. Make a total commitment. Don't attach yourself to anything else. Be very strong. Now, here's what they're to be very strong to do. To keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do everything the Bible tells us to do. It's a lot easier than what they were told to do. Because the one who fulfilled the law has taken his abode within us. He's the head. You know the head does the thinking. You don't think with your feet. You don't think with your hips. No, your shoulders. Your head does your thinking. And if he's the head of the church, then we are to follow in obedience. Because he will never tell us anything or lead us anywhere that's in contradiction with God or his word, since he is the living word. That'd preach, wouldn't it? Do everything that's written so that you don't turn to the right or to the left. in Luke, I believe it's 9, maybe the very last verse, Jesus said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. If you're going to plow, plow straight. If you're going to plow, plow deep. If you're going to plow ahead. And don't turn aside. Don't turn. This is Joshua's instruction. Don't look to the right nor to the left. You know, look straight. You can look back and be full of regret. You can look around and be full of fear. But if you look straight ahead, you can be full of faith. That's what he's telling them. In order that you may not associate with these nations. Boy, that was good advice. Don't associate with those nations that remain among you. Don't even mention their gods. Don't make anyone swear by them or serve. Don't bow down to them. Now here's the biggie. You are to cleave, C-L-E-A-V-E, hold on to, cling to the Lord your God, even as you have done to this day. They had been faithful. The ones that were there, Achan wasn't. He wasn't there either. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you this day. Now, next, the next verse is as impossible as it can be for one man to drive out or put to flight 1,000. But we find that over in David in those days. Supernaturally, God can do anything. One can put 1,000 to flight if God is with that one and against that 1,000. God's enemies will not stand against him nor his people. One of the things that I don't understand, and I'm sure you don't either, I do not understand the conditions of some of the nations of the world, even today, with all of the suffering and the starvation, except that those nations have not bowed their knee to Jehovah. Zaire and all of those places where there's so much suffering. And you see, the innocent always suffer with the wicked. You can't go through a nation and pick out the devils and pour it on them and miss the rest of them. When a nation suffers, the wicked suffer and the innocent suffer. But I'll tell you something, and we don't like to hear it, but the nation that does not serve God shall not stand. Isaiah 60, verse 12 says that the nation that does not serve thee shall surely perish. And this is the reason for the tremendous strength that God showed to those people was because he had chosen them, and everybody else around them were enemies to him. One can put 1,000 to flight, for the Lord is doing the fighting. Glory to God. You're not your own. You don't have to fight your own battles. The captain of the Lord's host is as much with you as he was that day when he appeared to Joshua. Now here's a bit more encouragement. Boy, we need this. I need it. Some of you need it. I guess all of you. I don't know. You may be perfected already. I don't know. He says, the New American Standard reads it this way, diligent heed. Diligent heed. I like the word diligent. Don't you like that word? It means strong. Do it now. Do it right. Don't look back. Don't substitute. Don't add to and don't take away from. Just do it. Immediately. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Brother, what a verse. The great commandment there again, to love the Lord your God. Paul said, love is the perfect bond of unity. You see, this is why we make such a mockery in church to many people in the world, because we talk worse about each other than the world talks about their associates. That's right. Friendly fire. We really need to be an example of love all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that you put your stamp of approval on sin in the church, but our ugliness doesn't help their sin. Our ugliness doesn't give any remedy to anything. So here it is, love the Lord. And you see, our love for the Lord is measured by our love for one another. First John makes that so plain. He says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your fellow man whom you have seen? And he always says some strong things. He says, if you don't love your brother, you're a liar. Some strong things. But love is the answer. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. And think about all the disobedience that we do. Lord, help us. If you ever go back and cling to the rest of those nations. See, I'm reading this to you. I have pages and pages of notes, but I'll tell you, we need to hear every word. If you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations that remain among you and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you. Intermarriage is about the closest association you can get. And God had told them back in Deuteronomy that they were not to do this. And it's sad for us to see what verse 13 says. But it's very, very plain. Know with certainty that the Lord will not continue to drive these nations out. And they shall be a snare and a trap to you, a whip on your side and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. That is very, very, very strong. Isn't it? This is the kind of preaching we need. But you know what? We have, and it happened in every generation. It didn't start in 1995 or 6 or 7. It didn't start in Baton Rouge. It didn't start where you go to church or where I go to church. It has always been what Paul said to Timothy, that in the last times, men would have itching ears. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And there is so much emphasis in church today on feelings. More emphasis on feelings than on facts. Well, you know, I want to tell you something. As I see it, God is not concerned one tiny little bit with how we feel about anything. Can you say amen? See, he's sovereign. His word's established. It's that way, and there's no plan B. Now you have to agree. I mean, you don't like it. Some of you looking like a crab dill pickle for breakfast. But I want to tell you something, friends. That is the way it is. The word of the Lord will stand forever. And we just have to face up to it, that he will not share his affection, his glory, with anyone else. He is Lord. And he is going to be proclaimed Lord. He is going to be worshipped as Lord. He is going to be obeyed as Lord. My attention is arrested anew. Every time I think about what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture. That would be Joshua 23:13 also. All scripture is useful, profitable, needful for correction, for rebuke, for teaching, and then this biggie, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is a very strong verse. Very, very strong. You need to mark it and ponder it. It's not strong because I say it's strong. It's strong because it's strong. In verse 66, he says, be strong, be firm. Verse 8, he says, cling to the Lord. Verse 11, he says, give diligent heed. And then he says, if you disobey. See, he deals with the past in verse 3. He deals with the future in verse 5. And he deals with the present in verses 9 through 11. This is just the way it is. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 7 a moment. And let's look very briefly at verses 1 through 5 very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you're going, know therefore today. Oh, no, skip. Now, I've got the wrong. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, pages stuck together, that you're entering because you to possess it, and shall clear away the nations, all of them in their name there, and when your Lord shall deliver them, verse 2, before you, and shall you shall defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, show no favor to them. You'll not intermarry. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled again, and he will quickly destroy you. Who? This loving, merciful, kind God? Yes. Yes. So we need to look at all of his attributes, not just his goodness. The whole, Paul says in Romans, the goodness and the severity. We sing God is so good, but we don't sing God is so severe. He will destroy you. But you shall do, you'll tear down their altars, smash their pillars, hew down their asherim, and burn their graven images. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Now I'm back to Joshua. Y'all, see, do you understand? I did get a picture there. These are the people that Moses called to them and gave them Deuteronomy.
You know, Corinthians chapter 5 talks about similarity in the modern church about judging the Christian and not associating with those that do.
Well, you cannot afford to. You can pray for them. You can love them. But if you run with them, then your ways will be changed by them. Absolutely. We have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And that's New Testament too. Shun the very appearance of evil. See, this is why, and you can think what you want to about it. You love me fine, no matter how mouthy I am. This is why it's dangerous for Christians to drink a glass of wine in a public place. There's nothing more wrong with a glass of wine than there is with a cup of tea. But all evil in the world that I know anything about always has smoke, drink, darkness, lewdness, right? It all fits together so that we shun the appearance of evil or anything that causes evil. And that doesn't mean we're holy Joes or holy now. It means that with the best of our ability, we're going to obey the Word of God and try to be what he has called us to be. Back into Joshua, when we finish this up there quickly. Joshua says, I'm going to the way of all the earth. Where are we going? All the way there. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. Little boy looked out of the bed one day and told his mama, he said, there's somebody coming and going under there. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. We'll all make this trip. Now, he says, know in your hearts. Now, here's the lovely, lovely, precious truth. Not one word of all the good words that the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled. God has done what he said he will do. He will continue to do what he says he will do. We sang that old song, Never Alone. You see, he's promised never to leave us alone. He said, I will never. He said that back over in Deuteronomy. It's repeated over in Hebrews. I will never. And the Amplified Bible says, I will never, under any circumstances, will I ever, ever leave you alone. And that's a promise. And, you know, I want to tell you this, and you won't like to hear it, but it's true. You will feel him and appreciate him more in sorrow and affliction than you will in the good days. And that's why these times have to come, so that he can work in us that which good fortune and living it up and having a good time will never do, because we get careless then and take things for granted. Well, it shall come about that just as all the good words that the Lord spoke. Now listen to this. It gets tougher. Can we get tougher? Can you stand to be tougher? It's here. We don't have any choice about it. So the Lord, now let me read it all. it'll come about just as the Lord, as all the good works which the Lord is, your God has spoke to you have come upon you. Everything good had come upon them. I mean, they'd shattered the walls falling down. They had defeated their enemies. They had marched through there. They'd been given the land. Everything was get it and go. Name it and claim it, brothers. God's on our side. We believe him and we obey him. Just as that happened, he said, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats. Now, the King James Bible says evil things. The Amplified Bible says every warning of evil. The NIV says all the evil he has threatened. He will bring upon them the destruction that he has told them would come for disobedience. You know, we don't have time to tickle ears, really. You say, well, you believe Jesus is coming. I don't any more know about that than anybody else does. And you can stretch charts from wall to wall, from here to the end of that. That does not mean one thing. I hate to be so ugly. But Jesus said, nobody knows. How can they know if nobody knows? I do not know. But I do know that his promise to return is as valid as it was the day he made it. And we see lots of signs. There are a lot of things that haven't been accomplished. But I'll tell you what, like Simon Cameron said, if he doesn't come, he'll call. There are plenty of gray heads in here besides mine. And there will come a day when we will go the way of all earth. Really, friends, we don't have time, even in church, to play church. The young people need to know. Now, they can have their wiener roasts and their watermelon parties, and they can have a good time. But I'm telling you, when it comes to dealing with this word, it needs to be made very clear that God requires obedience. And you see, it's in the Bible in a pattern as obeying parents. And I love it in Hebrews. It says, if your earthly fathers, if our earthly fathers disciplined us and chastised us for our good, how much more our heavenly Father will do that. And you know what brings chastisement? Disobedience. Did you ever whip your child when they didn't mind you? They don't do it much anymore. You know, parents do what the kids say. But that is not the biblical pattern. And that's one, I think, in my opinion, you can entitle yours. I believe this one cause for the moral collapse of our nation is the breakdown not only in the government but in the home. Well, let me finish this. He will do what he has said he would do. Now, where did he say it? Who remembers where he said what he was going to do to them? Thank you. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he lists about 16 verses of blessings and then about 45 or 46 verses of cursings. And I want to tell you something, friends. If you read through those again, it'll make your hair stand on end. I mean, they are serious. You know, do you ever wonder, I just get really amused and bewildered sometimes, why there isn't more attention paid to the fact that God expects us to be obedient? I mean, it sends you money, you know, and you'll be all right. Invest this and that, and God will bless you. That is not what the Bible says. You can invest everything you've got in anybody's ministry. But if you don't obey God, the curse is on us. Are y'all all right? But this is absolutely the truth, that he will not wink at disobedience. These words are powerful. This is the strongest verse, I guess, that we've read. Now, let me finish this right quickly. When you transgress, that means when you break the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish. D-I-E. Die. Disappear. Lose out from the good land which is given you. Now, the saddest thing that I know of in all of the Bible is over in the book of Judges. Turn over there. Beginning in verse 6. verse 6. Judges 2, 6. It starts really in verse 1, but we'll just do 6. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went to each inheritance, possessed them. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen the great work of the Lord. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, died at 110, as we said a while ago. That's over in the 24th chapter of Joshua also. And they buried him in his inheritance. That generation all gathered to their fathers. Now listen to this. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord. And I want to tell you, that is a serious indictment, even on our nation. Now you can teach your children the Lord, but you can't live it for them. You cannot make them obey, but we have a responsibility. You see, I remember, and all of Ned does, and Sister does, and some of the rest of you remember, when in school, we used to pray. Remember? And say grace before meals. And this song, Oh Worship the King, I taught that to every sixth grade class I ever had. And Christianity flowed in and out of the classrooms. Well, that stopped. They used to pray in government, in the high places, honored the Ten Commandments, and that has been mostly done away with. Now, when Moses brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea, before they ever started out, he said to them, he said, when your children ask you what this means, then you shall tell them of this deliverance. You see, now no matter, and it got dark. They'd been in dark places. They got out, and they hadn't been out but a few days till they began to complain. It was never easy. But Moses said, tell your children. And the generations of young people, and no doubt there's been some wonderful family training, but do you realize that most of the nation is taken in with the entertainment of the age? And that we are just not, as a nation, concerned with passing down the instructions about the Lord. And that generation, I wonder how much, don't you, what will happen? You ever want to think about it? What is going to continue to happen? It's happening. And if there's not revival, repentance, and change, do y'all understand what I'm talking about? But see, this generation that after them did not know the Lord. Does your Bible say that? And did know what he had done for all of Israel. Now here's the sad, the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed themselves down. That is exactly what Moses told them that we read out of Deuteronomy chapter 7 not to do. It's exactly what Joshua told them not to do. But you know the happy thought. Let me close with a happy thought. All scripture is profitable. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said the things that happened and the things were written as examples to us. See, that we don't make the same mistakes they made. That if they didn't perpetuate the knowledge of the Lord and his marvelous works to their children, then we see that it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And we shall. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No, but you know, there is a revival with the youth, and it's not this kind of revival that
happy,
the lucky, it's repentance and worship.
There is no other revival except
come
through repentance.
And
that's good. It needs to. It needs to touch this whole nation.
It's the older people that are not, my generation and up that are not holding on. And it's just in. It's the reverse.
Joshua said it. Look back before you go. Don't hurt you. Just take this much time. Joshua said it. And this is what we have to believe. He said, verse 24 of the last chapter. Find it. We'll all read it together and we're gone. See you next week. Appreciate you coming.
I pray it's been worth your while. I'd rather die than waste your time. Joshua 24:24. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord and we will obey His voice." They said it, but they didn't do it. Where there is a verse that Joshua said, "As for me and my house, find that for me." What verse? Yeah, that's the one I want. Look at verse 15 again. 15. 24. Chapter 24, verse 15. This covers it good. Is there any charge for the gift wrapping?
No.
Oh, good. I want one. Look at this verse right quickly. "And if it is disagreeable..." Now, listen to this. It says it doesn't make any difference what you think about it. "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites you're living in, but it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That it comes to that. If you don't like it, do it anyway. If you want to go and serve another god, just help yourself. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people said they would in 24:24. But they didn't. And we know what happened to them. Thank God for the prophets.
Amen.
For the truth. Any other questions?